Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep on me. Here come Tuesday.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program for Monday. Everyone's asking me the same question, which is, hey, Savage, what do you think of this Brexit vote? Now, the fools amongst the people I run into, and there are not a lot of people I talk to, but when they see Teddy, that is my dog, they'll say, oh, is that Teddy? That must be you. And the first thing they ask me is about Brexit. This happened 3-4 times over the weekend from strangers. And I said, well, I explained it all on Friday on my radio show. It's on my Facebook page. I said, well, I missed the Friday show, so I'm reluctant to do it, but I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I said on Friday. And it's this. It's a paragraph. What does Brexit have to do with you? It's Obama's Waterloo. He had two major losses in 48 hours. His devious plan to grant amnesty to over 4 million illegal aliens died Thursday or Friday on a 4-4 split in the Supreme Court. Then the EU died. Well, at least the British part of it did. And he and his globalist schemers are far from finished, as we all know. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But they were temporarily weakened by the exit of Britain. You see, the people have spoken. The people are willing to have a weaker economy if they can stop the flood of Muslims and Africans into their nation. You see, English law is much tougher on terrorism than the pinko EU law, which is why ISIS itself and Al-Qaeda wanted Britain to remain attached to the pinko college boys and girls who run the New World Order in Brussels. That's the summary. Now, I wake up today and I see this shocking headline and I say, was I right or was I wrong? I was so right, it's painful. European superstate to be unveiled. EU nations to be morphed into one nation after Brexit. European political chiefs are to take advantage of Brexit by unveiling their long-held plan to morph the continent's countries into one giant superstate that has emerged today. Do you know what this means? Do you have any idea what the significance is? I know it's summer. I know it's vacation time. The world is in turmoil right now. You can point fingers at anyone you want. The number one architect of this breakup of the world order is Hillary Clinton. But she's gotten away with this disaster because of the men and women that she owns in the media. I wake up this morning and I read that the European superstate will be morphed into one post-state after Brexit. One state under this new proposal, the European Union, all their nations will lose the right to have their own army, their own criminal law, their own taxation system, their own central bank. All those powers will be transferred to Brussels, which means those powers will be transferred to Angela Merkel, that potato-faced communist from East Germany, who posed as a conservative all these years in order, and here's the most shocking and revolutionary thing you're going to hear from me today and from anyone in the history of the media. Nobody in the media is going to say what I'm going to say to you. And the reason I'm risking saying what I'm about to say is because it's absolutely true. Merkel has achieved Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. If they pull off this one super state and eliminate the sovereignty of all the other states, then Merkel will have achieved Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. And the only nation that won't be included will be Britain. Isn't that interesting? In many ways, it was the Battle of Britain all over again. Instead of using Spitfires to defeat the Luftwaffe, they used common sense to defeat the liars. And they won. Now, of course, the game is not yet over because the evil ones in the European Union are not going to stop until they override the people. And they will do so at the risk of a civil war because their plans for a new Soviet-style superstate have long, long been on the drawing books. That's how I see it. Now, I realize this is not that important to the average American. They really don't even know what it is about. But some Americans are so stupid and arrogant that they said things such as, did those people really know what they were voting for? No, they were stupid. No, the Europeans were stupid. They're not as smart as you. They don't know as much as you or the rock stars or the drug addicts or the immigrants. No, they're not smart. The Europeans don't know what's good for them. Well, I boiled it down for a man in the street yesterday outside a little restaurant. I said it really boiled down to one fisherman in England who said that in order to fish off the coast of his own country, he needed permission from some unnamed bureaucrat in Brussels, and he wanted his sovereignty back. He wanted the right to fish back, which had been part of his national identity for so many years. So we look at who's putting down the common people in England, and guess who it is? In addition to the evil new Soviets, meaning the bureaucrats, rock stars and celebrities react with dismay to Brexit. So now I read about some of these people. Listen to these comments. You won't believe this. 60s legend Marianne Faithfull. I really don't know who she is. I think she's a heroin addict or some all-around degenerate slut. 60s legend Marianne Faithfull said she hoped, quote, the situation can be saved and that Parliament can still do something. She told the news people, it is a disaster. I feel sick and very sad. We are back to where it used to be. The right-wing racist little England, those dreadful people, they've always been there. That's a 60s junkie singer. And what did Karl Lagerfeld say, the fashion designer? Karl Lagerfeld, the German-born Chanel creator, told those in the press, I feel sick and very sad. We're back to where it used to be. The right wing racist little England. Oh no, that was her. I'm sorry. Karl Lagerfeld said he blamed rural voters from deep in the countryside for pushing Britain out. He said the big cities didn't want it. I don't think it's a good idea. The analysis of the vote shows that it is a bad decision. Well, the Sun newspaper, which called for its readers to vote to quit Europe, called these comments arrogant. Man, we have other quotes from guitarists and other drug addicts. They're all against it. And then one rock star, I don't know who his name is, he said, no one ever said that the majority know what they're doing. So in other words, they're against the majority vote. I think they should eliminate the vote altogether in Europe. That would be the next step, and have the new Soviet Union, where Merkel will be uber alles. Angela Merkel, uber alles. Whatever the potato-faced oven stuffer wants, the potato-faced oven stuffer shall get. Who would have thought that a woman who came to power as a center-right conservative would wind up achieving one of the major pillars of Hitler's fundamental dream, which was a united Europe under Germany? It's astounding to me. Now, those are some of the international stories. I could say to you, if you care to comment, the phone number is 855-407-282. But the biggest loser here is Obama. It was Obama who went to England and tried to use his arrogance to persuade the dumb English to stay with Europe, and he failed. And what's interesting to me is that people know this. Everyone knows this except the American media liars. They pretend he had nothing to do with it. But the fact of the matter is he had everything to do with them leaving Europe. And we have the sound to prove that. We have the sound to prove that in great ways. And then over the weekend we had, for a laugh line, let's get the cuckoo clock ready, Robert. We've been waiting for her for days now, weeks. She hasn't been seen or heard from. None other than Madame Pelosi, the laughingstock of the world political scene, came out and made some statements that only a cuckoo clock backup would be the proper backup for this. Let's listen to clip 11 on the Savage Nation.
The dead of night, without debate, the vote was forced through a radical and reckless bill, more focused on attacking women's health in this bill than protecting America's families. It dangerously underfunds our fight against Zika, cuts off women's access to birth control, and undermines our veterans as well.
Sounds like she needs some Obamacare. Nasty cold there, Nancy. Must have been something in those meatballs, eh? Let's listen to her with the proper background. Now, let's get the Looney Tunes ready for the laughing stock of the world political class. Here's Nancy Pelosi in clip number 10 to lighten up your Monday on the Savage Nation.
Public safety, public health, protecting the American people is all related. And what do the Republicans do instead of giving us a vote on guns? They passed a really pathetic Zika bill. It's been 4 months since President Obama submitted his emergency supplemental bill request for Zika. 4 months for emergency. Think of that. 4 months for an emergency funding. And House Republicans have dawdled, delayed, and obstructed, trying to shortchange our response to this virus that threatens to do devastating damage to America's families and children.
Well, Nancy, I know you didn't read this in your local newspaper, but there actually is a more intelligent solution to Zika, which is to stop washing the dirty feet of those immigrants by kicking them out of the country and not letting them in the first place. I know that's shocking to you. I don't know how many of them live in your mansion on Pacific Heights with you, nor how many immigrants live in the mansions of Dianne Feinstein or the others who are so in favor of the illegal aliens. But you see, the reason Zika even entered here is because of the people you love so much. You're bringing them in by the trainload from Honduras and other countries where the disease is endemic. Look up the word endemic. Endemic. And we're not talking about a facial now. Endemic. Zika is endemic in the countries of origin that you seem to favor more than the America itself that you live in and has been so good to you. So there is a smarter way to stop Zika than spending billions of dollars that will be siphoned off by gangsters in the healthcare business. Medical fraud, Mrs. Pelosi, as you well know, is one of the greatest scams ever invented in history. It is more profitable than cocaine and heroin put together. And medical fraud is so profitable that at the first sign of any kind of medical problem, there's no better solution than an emergency supplemental bill from the great genius in the White House in order to make sure that, what, 60-80% of it gets skimmed off into the same hands that are robbing the country blind in so many other ways, including the greenways. Well, that's the opening to the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Then, I didn't hear it coming from the Black Lives Matter people. Sometimes, I swear to God, listen to what I'm saying to you. I used to go to jazz clubs. I saw black guys playing music. I didn't see hatred coming out of their horns and off their drums. Where did all of this hatred come from? Well, I'll tell you the truth. We have a president who is a community organizer by training who found a little trick in life, which is turn one race against the other, turn one class against the other, turn one sex against the other, and presto magico, all the world is yours. This man has set race relations back 50 or more years, and now a hatred that I couldn't imagine still existed at a time when we have a black president, a black attorney general, and black people running so many aspects of America. The hatred is overwhelming, even from uber wealthy entertainers who you would never believe harbor such hatred. And yet they do. There was a Black Entertainment's Award ceremony over the weekend with an actor, Jesse Williams, who I don't really know. Only I'm not doing it to denigrate him. I don't know who he is. I know he's on a TV show. Well, he hit a new level of hatred that I could not imagine would be permitted. You have to listen to clip number 9 from this hateful lowlife on the Savage Nation.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit.
The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Why would anyone ever turn on a show with this racist hater in it? Why would you ever patronize any of his advertisers? You want to dig your own grave? Then be a fool and not listen to people like this. You know, I don't understand how America can go on with haters like this in such high places. Could you imagine if a white man got up and said such things about this invention called blackness? Could you imagine what would happen if Donald Trump got up and said this invention called blackness? What would happen? Do you understand that hate is hate no matter whose mouth it comes out of? Well, there's more to this guy than meets the eye. And we have to go back to some of the other statements that were made on black entertainment television, which is, really, I would say they should be ashamed of themselves, but I know there's no shame in certain people. Here now is an attack on the very police in clip number 4 in the Savage Nation.
We know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down.
You hear this arrogant college mouth? Do you hear this? This garbage was created by white communists in the universities specifically to stimulate a revolution amongst weak-minded blacks in the United States of America. I've never seen or heard anything like this in my lifetime. And I grew up in a fully integrated New York City. I've never seen race relations at this low level in my entire life. Things were coming together, and then they got pulled apart by the most divisive man in the history of America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Stop the coming civil war. Count down to Mecca. Government, zero. Banned in Britain. It's all happening right in front of my eyes. And I've seen this emerging because of the divisive hater in the White House. Now, of course, there were always people who harbored hatred for other races, and there still are. But I've never seen it so publicly and shamelessly exhibited and exploited by very wealthy actors and entertainers. That's the odd part. These are not suffering people in the streets. These are spoiled, rotten, rich people hating society and telling you you're a fool, basically, and that you're an evil person, and yet you support these people. You go to their movies, you buy their CDs, and you watch them on television. Why? What's wrong with you? Listen to clip number 7. Listen to it carefully. Listen.
All of us in here getting money, that alone isn't going to stop this. All right? Now, dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies, there has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free.
It's beyond comprehension. The hatred, the twisting of reality. And so again, we hear the words freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. My friends, we are living through a revolution. We're living through a quiet civil war in the United States of America. It was fomented the day this imposter was foisted upon us back in 2008. Many of us saw this coming. Most of us didn't see it coming. And most of the dummies in the United States of America still don't even know they're in a civil war. And that was started the day that the imposter was foisted upon us. But it's here. It's everywhere. And it's very near. Last night, for example, I went to a Latin dance club. I go once in a while on a Sunday. It's largely, you know, Latin people, Hispanics, some white people. I happen to love the music. I grew up with it in New York, and I have always loved the Cuban music, Puerto Rican music, Panamanian music, El Salvador, and it's amazing. Call it salsa music if you want. It doesn't matter what you call it. Music was good. And here's a guy on the stage that I'm listening to. Even he had to talk about, don't build that wall, he said. The Chinese already built the wall. We don't need another wall. This is in a dance hall. Wherever you turn, you're hearing a hatred towards America come up. And it's coming up, and it's growing faster than the wall is growing. The hatred coming up, and by the way, it's coming up from individuals who don't even have the legal right to be here. They're trying to dictate to us how we should run our own country. It's coming up, and it's growing faster than the wall that Trump said he would build. And don't get me started on that, please. Please don't get me started on what I predicted, because unfortunately I was right again. I have to tell you this. I'm going to vote for him anyway, because the opposition to him is so disastrous. The criminal, the disaster called Hillary Clinton is so awful that I have no choice. Now, I said to you the reason I supported Trump before anyone else in the media did, and longer and harder than anyone else, is because his policies as presented were mirrors of what I had written in my last two or three books. And I agreed with build a wall, make sure that Muslims from terrorist nations don't come in, ban the burqa. There were a lot of really good points. And guess what happened? What did I tell you would happen once this campaign became national? Who was it who told you that he would move to the center and then become even to the left of center? Me. And guess what happened? Where's the wall now? Well, there's going to be a wall, but it's going to be a smaller wall. If there's a wall at all, it won't be made of brick. It'll be made of paper. And what about banning Muslims? We all cheered when he said that because it's common sense. Go back to the ancient times. If a nation had sovereignty, they didn't let people in who were blowing them up. Who lets people in who are blowing you up or cutting throats or threatening to kill you? Certainly not all of them. But amongst them? How many of them? What percentage of Syrians, what percentage of Muslims from Syria or Africa are potentially explosive jihadists? You don't know, do you? Well, let's say it's 1%. Let's say it's even just 1% of being snuck in through the Trojan horse of refugees. 1% of a million is how many people? Can you do the math? It's 10,000 people. 1% of a million refugees that might be jihadists is 10,000. Can you afford 10,000 jihadists amongst us when we already have several thousand at least amongst us? What sane nation on earth would let them in? None, because we're not a sane nation. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, wherever you go now, you hear the hatred coming back up at us, at America. Here's a nation that's been so good to so many immigrant groups. Was it a paradise for everyone? Yes, it was a paradise for everyone. That's why they came here. See, it was a paradise compared to what they were coming from. It didn't mean the streets were paved with gold. It meant that, yes, you had to make a living here. You had to work very hard. You had the opportunity to build a life for yourself. But the emphasis is on build a life for yourself, not be given a life by a government. No one owes you a living. There's a famous story of a man sitting on a bench in Central Park, looking depressed, and an old woman sits down next to him, and she says to him, "Stranger, what's wrong?" And he starts to complain about his life, that he's not doing well. And she says to him, very calmly, "Yes," she says, "life owes you a living, but you have to earn it." It was that simple. That's not told to the immigrants that are coming in who become nothing but gimmigrants. And I'm the son of an immigrant who worked very hard, as I have my entire life. Yeah, I understand the motto on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, you're poor, and you're hungry. It sounds great. It's so noble. See, there was no welfare state then. It was all a scam. They weren't bringing in tens of millions of immigrants from Europe, whether it be from Russia or Germany or Poland or Italy. They weren't bringing them in to give them food stamps and welfare and free legal and free medical. They were bringing them in to work in the backbreaking factories of America. They were bringing them in because they needed cheap labor. They needed them in the mines, the coal mines in Pennsylvania needed them. The steel mills in Ohio and Pennsylvania needed them. The sewing machines in New York's garment center needed them. That's why they were brought in. There was no welfare state waiting for them. Trust me, my friends, this is not the same America as that of the, I believe, was it Goldman who wrote it? Emma Goldman? I don't know who. Lazarus. Emma Lazarus, I believe, if my memory doesn't fail me. It was Emma Lazarus, the so-called poetess, who created that crafty little phrase, give us your tired, you're poor, and you're hungry. It never was a welfare state, never will be a welfare state, but we're past that point. So these are some of the topics that we're talking about on the Savage Nation. The emergence of the European superstate, where Merkel is achieving part of Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. This is amazing, without firing a shot. Look what this oven-stuffing woman has been able to pull off under the guise of fairness and equality. Look what she's been able to do. Then we have the haters popping up around America about this invention called whiteness. What if a white comedian got up and said, this invention called blackness, what might happen the next day inside the corridors of the news media? And yet, why are they saying it? They're all wealthy. They never had it so good. They're making a fortune. What do they hate so much? What do they hate so much about this country? Well, let's take some of the callers. Deb on KLIF in Dallas, you're the first up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Deb?
Hi, I'm really happy to talk to you. After hearing that hater and what he said, I was sick to my stomach. I used to watch him on Grey's Anatomy, which I don't think I'll be able to watch again.
Do you understand something, and you have to listen carefully? Every time you watch a television show through a cable outlet, it's recorded somewhere as to audience. Do you understand that?
I didn't.
That's right. That's how the metrics are created. So when you get an actor hating you and hating your race and hating your country, why would you stop on a show in which he appears? Tell me why.
I won't again.
See, many of you think that you could watch silently of a hater and say he's just a good entertainer. It doesn't cost me anything, but it is costing you. Because what you're doing is you're increasing his income or her income, and you're increasing their ratings simply by watching it. The ratings go up, the income goes up. You're not paying for it, but they're getting more money for it, and their power is growing. And so their hatred will grow with it. So you have a lot of power as a consumer to just simply scan by them. And if you see the hater in a show, you say, I'm not watching it because he's a racist hater. Do you understand that?
I do, now.
Well, now you learn something. Now you learn something. Now you learn something. Let me tell you something. I face this every day in my radio career. 22 years I've survived. And I've survived through guts and intelligence. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who hate me. And then there's a lot of people who love me. And there seems to be more millions who love me than hate me, because they tune into this show every week. And that is how I survive. And so the fact is that if you don't like me, don't listen to me. And the same goes true for the other side. Don't watch them, don't listen to them. Don't buy their products. They hate you, so what are you giving them money for? Thank you for the call, my friend. Why would this man, I don't even, honest to God, I don't watch the shows, Jesse Williams, I never heard of him. This came from the Black Entertainment Television Award. He gave a speech full of hatred for white people on a level I don't think I could imagine. Do you know that if a Nazi gave a speech like this about other races, he would be probably put in prison in Europe for a hateful speech like this? I want you to listen to clip 9 and tell me if you think this is an appropriate speech for anyone of any race in a multiracial nation. Listen to clip 9.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Abuses us by buying your garbage, by watching your stinking acting? Okay, my friends, this is it. They've told us that they're at war with the rest of the nation. They've told you that they hate you as a European American. You have all the power in the world to act accordingly. It's that simple. KSFO, Chris, what do you think about a racist speech like this at a Black Entertainment Television Awards ceremony? Do you think that this is appropriate?
No, Michael, I think it's repugnant. And, you know, the racial controversy that has been foisted on this nation is basically the equivalent of a spell. And I want to say that I think it has a spiritual dimension. But let's just deal with it in the raw. It's actually coming at us as a form of mass psychology. And we're being guilted into submission, and we're being pounded by forces within media, within entertainment, within education. And there is a homogeneity to this phenomenon. It is across several areas of society. And I want to say that it has roots. If I could, just conversationally for a minute, shift to, let's look at the person of Hillary Clinton. What is her ideology? What is the basis of her ideology? As we look at Hillary, if we look at her history, we notice that by her own writing, she's an advocate of Eleanor Roosevelt. What was Eleanor Roosevelt an advocate of? Do you know that she was an advocate of spiritism and seance? Do you know that Eleanor Roosevelt and Hillary Clinton both are advocates of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky? Do you know that Helena Petrovna Blavatsky?
Well, I know, honestly, sir, I know most of this, but I want to stick to this hatred for white people coming from so many in the Black entertainment world. How do they expect white people to attend their movies or buy their products after a thing like this? Is it that they take the white people for granted and the brown people and the Asian people? Do they think that they don't know what they're saying?
My point, Michael, was there's an element of pragmatism that is given license by liberal thinking that no matter what the course of action is necessary to take, they will take it. So to create racial division in the country is no big thing for liberaldom. They give themselves license to do it because they see it as necessary. And so they are harnessing the black vote, the black mindset, and the black culture and the black population as a work.
Wait, let's go back. This is at a Black Entertainment Television Awards ceremony. A 10th-rate actor, Jesse Williams, gets up there and spews hatred for white people on a level I would not expect from anyone except a neo-Nazi towards other races. How can he expect that to help his career? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So, my friends, the Pope says the Catholic Church should apologize to gays. That's the latest thing coming from the Catholic Church. Pope Francis, the Marxist maniac, says gays and all the other people the church has marginalized, such as the poor and the exploited, deserve an apology. It's hard to believe that this man, this another imposter, by the way, he is the first non-European pope carefully found in South America, elevated to the top position in the Catholic Church, and is espousing straight-out Marxism from the day he opened his mouth as pope. I don't know how any Catholic could go to church with this man as pope. Now, of course, many of you go because you say, God is bigger than a pope, God is bigger than the church, and I go to meet God. I understand that. I don't understand how you suffer a pope of this low nature. You do know he was a bouncer in Argentina for many years. You do know that. I know you don't want to hear it. The Pope was a bouncer before he became a priest. What do you want me to say to you? Because he wears a white robe and has a cap on his head, he's holy?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave on me.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Black entertainment television, in all of its fury. This is at an awards ceremony, saying things that you hear on a college campus for years now from the communists who created it, about whiteness and white privilege, which, by the way, is a construct. The construct is not about white people. The construct is this thing called whiteness. What does it mean? What does a construct mean? What if a white actor or entertainer got up at an Academy Awards ceremony and said, we've been floating this country on credit for centuries, paying out billions and trillions in welfare, and we're sick of it, and we're done watching and waiting while this invention called blackness uses and abuses us? What would happen in this country if a white person ever said that? Well, you know the results, what they would be, wouldn't they? What if Donald Trump had said a thing like that? So why does this one have the right to come up with this hatred? Why? Because it's black entertainment television. Now, I could ask you what would happen if there was white entertainment television, but that's a moot point. There can no longer ever be such a thing. And we're talking about the hatred coming up from various quarters in this country today, where the seeds of, I would like to use the exact word, I would say the grapes of wrath, but it would be incorrect. I would say the seeds of hate that have been sown from high by Obama and his minions are now sprouting in a fruitful summer. A summer of madness and hatred and racial division. After 8 years of watching these seedlings grow and tending to them, watering them carefully, making sure they had proper amounts of sunlight, the seeds of hatred that Obama planted upon entering the Oval Office are now becoming full-fruited. And we the people understand that we're in a slow civil war. And by the way, if you think it's going to get better, you're wrong. They are escalating to a crescendo around the election. It's all about Hillary Clinton. This is all about the Democrat Party. This is all about the most evil man in the history of the world funding these groups. And I don't have to mention his name. Begins with an S and ends with an S. And it doesn't stand for SS, because there are several letters in between. He funds many of these groups, Mr. SS. And the fact of the matter is, we are all going to have to pay the piper for this hatred. So you say, well, why am I playing it? Because I'm astounded that black entertainment television is not run by saner people. But what even more astonishes me is that anyone listening to this would ever watch another movie that this clown is in. They never buy a product from anyone who espouses such hatred is amazing to me. So there's nothing I can do except point it out to you. We're also talking about Brexit, which I've given you my opinion on several times, both on Friday and today. And I've read you what so-called actors and entertainers had to say about Brexit, what hostility and arrogance they have, saying the average person is a moron. The average person doesn't know what they did. Here's a guy named Peter Maley, the novelist who wrote a stupid novel called Year in Provence that was very big with the menopause crowd. Peter Maley, the novelist, epitomized the European dream of living in the sun with his pathetic, maudlin Year in Provence novel set in southern France. You know, the dream. Big deal. So he said that the UK's exit from Europe was a disaster for them and for Europe. And he said, I'm sad for the future of my English friends who were taken in by the lies and racism of the British right-wing press. That's number one. And then, of course, there's this woman, Marianne Faithfull. I'm not lying to you when I say I don't know who she is. Robert, who is she? She was a singer in the 60s. Is she still operational? Does she do anything right now? She still sings? No. She's an old hag somewhere in England, an ex-hippie druggie. She went and said it's a disaster. I'm quoting now. I feel sick and sad. We're back to where it used to be. The right-wing, racist, little England. Those dreadful people, they've always been there. Why is it that heroin addicts, drug addicts, entertainers, and other people of weak minds and no character hate the country that gives them a fortune? I'll never understand it. They hate themselves, so they hate their country? Is that it? And they assume that people of color are going to love them for hating their own country? Okay, there's something so twisted in this, it's unbelievable to me. Those are two of the topics. The big topic for me, really, and I don't think anyone's calling on it, because my headline, which I just put up on michaelsavage.com, says it all. Merkel achieves one of Hitler's dreams, united Europe under German control. Many of you don't see this. I see this. Merkel achieves one of Hitler's dreams, a united Europe under German control. The Germans just lost the Battle of Britain. The Spitfire shot down the Messerschmitts. The Messerschmitts flamed out over the English Channel. But there's still an all-powerful Uber Alles, Germany. And they're manipulating their little cousins in Brussels. And they want all power now in the hands of these little bureaucrats in Brussels, eliminating the sovereignty of every nation in Europe. What does it actually mean? Under the radical proposal by Herr, I say Merkel. I don't know whether she's a Herr or Hein. I don't think she's nicht Herr nor Hein, but under the radical proposals by Herr and Hein Merkel, EU countries would lose their right to have their own army, their own criminal law, their own taxation system or central bank. All those powers would be transferred to Brussels. This is exactly what Hillary Clinton wants for the United States of America. Hillary Clinton is moving as rapidly as she can to create a new world order where she will run the world, and we will no longer have our own army. It will be under UN control. Our law is already being bastardized because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, where infectious international law is replacing American common law. Many of our taxes now are under question. There's new taxes being considered for the internationalists in the UN. And, of course, they want a central bank in Europe running the entire world. It's bad enough what we have with the Federal Reserve. Can you imagine what it would be like with a UN reserve? And could you imagine you losing your sovereignty? Well, that's what the Poles and the Czechs and the Hungarians and the Slovaks and all the others in Europe are being told they're going to have with Herr or Hein Merkel running the show. It doesn't get any more confusing than this for the average person, but that's what's going on. It's the world in, it's the earth in upheaval, a world in disorder. So you say, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I have one job. My job is to point it out. I don't have a solution for you other than to be very vigilant, because the same forces that are taking Europe into a new Soviet superstate are operating here in the United States of America to take us into this new Soviet superstate called the New World Order. And those forces are coming strictly from the left. That's what they want. They want a world run by a group of nameless, faceless bureaucrats in Brussels, where that we have no control over our own life. Now, you know, one of the shows I happen to like the most on television right now is called Barbarians Rising. I don't even know what channel it's on, but I become fascinated by the high level of the production. And as someone who's always enjoyed history, I'm not a historian by training. I've read enough history to declare myself interested in the subject. I've always been fascinated by who the barbarians were, the Roman Empire, etc. I didn't know that the barbarian was defined by anyone who was not a Roman or a Greek. It sounds very much the way the European Union sees the Brits. They see them as barbarians, that they're not Europeans. It seems that Obama, who has such an affinity for the sophisticates of Europe, considers the country folk in America, the gun owner, the family man, the family woman, you're the barbarian to him. Do you know that? It seems to me that the weaklings in the newspaper business see all of the rest of us as barbarians, and they are the true sophisticates of this world in which we all live. And then I look at what happened through history. You look at what happened in history. What happened in history in this particular case? Well, it was Rome imposing their power over every other country, all these tribes, crushing them, controlling them, taxing them, making them work the fields and providing the grain for their armies, sending back the ore for the pigs in Rome to revel in with their new palaces. Sound familiar to you? Well, that's what's going on here. The new Romans are called senators in the United States of America, who tax us to death and then rob the treasury blind through every scam imaginable. They are the Roman senators. They're called the U.S. senators today, but they're not U.S. senators by any means. They don't represent the people. Now, what I'm saying to you is kind of common knowledge to all of the people in the Tea Party, all the people in the Trump movement, all the people who, let us say, still love this country, understand what I'm saying. To the rest of you, you don't understand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you right now that the history of rebellion from masses that are oppressed by a central authority are not very good for the central authority. What usually happens in such cases is that the central authority continues to step on the little man until the little man finally rebels. And when the little man rebels, it's not very good for the oppressor. Now, right now, we hear it coming from various quarters, but not from the, let us say, European-American quarter. Not very much. It's very polite. It's very legal. It's very orderly. It's very legal. They go to Trump rallies. They say they're going to vote for him. And then what happens is thugs in various groups attack them. Thugs in the Black Lives Matter movement. Thugs from the communist left. Thugs in bandanas from the so-called anarchists attack people at Trump rallies. And they think that the people in these crowds are going to be moved around like cows in a herd, that they're going to be intimidated, but they're not going to be. If history is at all a teacher to us, what's coming is very, very ugly. And I'll pause and take a break on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm going to get back to history in a minute. I want to tell you how the English language came to be, because you're not going to believe its origins. We're going to talk about the barbarians who broke the Roman Empire into East and West, and the parallels to today's illegal immigrants breaking America in half and busting us up into fiefdoms, really, run by a bunch of warlords called congressmen and senators. I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to take some calls. Joshua on WDRC. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hi. I want to say no racial divide. Please, no racial divide. The kid who's speaking at the DT Awards, he's not coming from hatred. He's just speaking poetry of his truth and what he knows. We're coming from like a black community, we've always known as the stern hand of the radical government. And right now, like, look at these actors and these artists. They're not awarded for their what they do. Like, look at Drake or Rihanna. They'll hold number one spot on the radio for weeks, months sometimes.
Joshua, I don't know what you're rambling on about. Some actor gets up there and attacks white people, calling it the invention of whiteness. Now, what does that actually mean? What do you mean, invention of whiteness?
Mostly he's talking about the big government now. He's talking about the people who...
Sir, what does the word, this invention called whiteness, mean? Can you please define it for those of us who are so ignorant and uneducated that we don't know what that means?
You're talking to a black American. You're calling me ignorant? That's horrible. That's horrible.
I asked you to explain something to me. I said, I'm the ignorant one. I don't know what whiteness means. What does the invention called whiteness mean?
The invention called whiteness? Guess what? I don't know what it means, but he's talking about our culture. He's talking about...
All right, take a walk. You're an ignoramus. I don't care if you're pink and you have wings. You're a moron. How's that? Didn't know what he was talking about, but he's already on national radio. Is there a black radical in the audience who would explain to those of us who are too stupid or uneducated to understand it, what does he mean by this invention called whiteness? I don't know what that means. How can you say you invented being a white person? I don't quite get it. WJR Radio, Detroit, Line 9, D, what's on your mind?
All I can say is, has anyone watched television lately and it has occurred to them we have a half-white president, we have a black first lady, we have a black attorney general just take a look at television. We elected these people. Where are these comedians coming from? I have not been to a movie in 20 years. The last one I saw was La Traviata. I will not support even a movie star any longer. There are almost none of them that aren't.
Oh, I don't understand how black entertainment television is not castigated for this, letting this this race baiter and this hater up there on the stage after he made millions of dollars in his portrayals as an actor. And I thank you for that call, my friend. Let me go back to the subject at hand, and I want to talk about history for a minute because there are parallels to the barbarians breaking the Roman Empire into two. Without boring you, well, maybe I'll bore you. Can I bore you? May I bore you? Let me bore you. We'll go back to the 5th century. After the barbarians invaded Rome, the Roman Empire, as you know, was deteriorating. And what did that deterioration look like once Rome was broken by the barbarians? Well, the people became the prey of robber armies of barbarians. Really? Robber armies of barbarians. Now, what does that mean? It means that in the past, there were great cities that had flourished under the early Roman Empire. Now, the city still stood, but they were now impoverished. They were partly depopulated, and they were falling into decay. What city does that remind you of? What city comes to mind when I say to you, after the barbarians had broken the Roman Empire, the city still stood, but they stood impoverished, partly depopulated, and they were falling into decay? What cities come to mind? Just put that into your thinking cap. And what happens then? Well, local officials in ancient Rome still asserted their authority. They go on with their work, and they make believe that everything is the way it was. They want people to pay taxes and follow the law. And what happened in the churches? The churches went on, but the church teachers became lower and lower, less literate and less literate. Does that sound familiar?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, ever since I've been a little boy, I've been told that prejudice is a bad thing, which it is. It means to prejudge someone based upon how they look. I get it. I've been told since I'm a little child. I mean, I remember in the earliest years in a public school in the Bronx, coloring book, I'm telling you exactly what I remember. A black hand and a white hand. We had a color in the black hand and the white hand. They made us racially sensitive. I wasn't sitting there thinking about blacks and whites. I didn't care about it. Now, why would they tell us that we should all get along if we weren't fighting with each other? Well, what was that about? Were they trying to get us angry at each other? So we all want an equal society, and I would think that with our laws today and with a black, well, half-black president, black attorney general, do I have to go down the list? I say African-American if you're more comfortable. Wouldn't you say that we have a society that's fairly fair? When you go to a university, let's say you're a white kid, let's just lay it on the line. What's the point of mincing words at this late stage of America, which is in such decline? When you apply, let's say you're a college girl, and let's say you're a high school girl, and you're of the Caucasian, Caucasian race, if you want to use that antiquated term. You want to say white, you can say white. European Americans say that. People don't know what to call themselves anymore. And you apply for admission to the top 10 colleges, if there's such a thing, which I don't think there is. Most of these 10 colleges are garbage. They're not the top 10 in anything except some technical fields. The rest is just nothing but a brainwashing and sex experiment. That's why I've called them institutions of lower living all of these years. What, you send your daughter to Harvard, she's going to come out a better woman? She'll come out a mixed-up crazy person, capable of nothing. So the thing is, let's say you apply to the 10 best schools in the United States of America, and you're of a Caucasian background, and you have straight A's, and you've done all sorts of other things, and you play the violin as well as a professional, and you've done community work. Well, you know that you're not going to get into that school necessarily. You know, and I know, and everyone knows, that people are picked based upon race rather than upon qualifications. And you know that that's why the universities are declining. I know it's a rough thing to accept. And the same is true, by the way, in corporations today. they are being forced by government mandate to hire people who are unqualified, and they're forced to fill racial quotas. And people of extremely high intelligence and high qualifications are being pushed aside from the police departments, fire departments, military, you name it, because of racial juggling. You know that, or don't you? You can say it isn't happening, but everyone whispers about it. Everyone whispers about it, and it's been creating real resentment in this country for so many decades right now. And now it's boiling to the surface because you figured, all right, I'll take it. I can only take so much. They put an idiot ahead of me as the police captain who can't even fire a gun. Here in San Francisco, we had a police chief. A police chief who couldn't fire a pistol. Heather Fung. The woman did not qualify to fire a pistol at a pistol range. They made her police chief. She was so incompetent, she eventually had to retire. We have a fire chief here. A fire chief who never had a speck of carbon from a fire on her uniform. They made her police chief. Because she's of a certain orientation. And so there was a big fire in San Francisco a year or so ago. Her and her girlfriends were hiding three blocks away in a command center they set up in their crisp white uniforms on walkie-talkies. They weren't climbing the ladders. They weren't manning the hoses. Three blocks away in their white uniforms. You know what the pensions are in the city for these fake firemen? Do you have any idea what kind of money is being ripped out of this system? That's bad enough. Now you put people in who are not even competent into these jobs. And what happens is resentment, 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 anger, 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 and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. Then you wake up, and that's not good enough now. Now they tell you that you don't have a race. On top of stealing your job from you, they tell you that whiteness is not even a race. It's invented. Where'd this come from? Where'd this whole idea of white privilege come from? Who invented this? This insult to an entire race of people. I don't know who invented it. KSFO, Charles, do you know who invented this whole concept of hating white people under this guise of white privilege? Who invented this?
Well, sir, I believe it comes from and it stems from Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. Because if you look at one of the bases of the Nation of Islam's beliefs is that original man in Africa was the black man, and that every form, every other, you know, flavor of mankind came from the black man. And then in their beliefs, there was a corrupt, and he was a black doctor, and he created on an island a race of white people because he was perverse in their belief, and the white people were created to challenge and overcome and be accepted above all those peoples of darker skin. And that is the basic belief. If you Google that, if you look at their doctrine, you will find that.
So this is straight racism. This is pure racism, this whole invention of white privilege.
Yes, exactly. And along, if you listen to a lot of the teachings in the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, et cetera, you know, whether it be the American government, whether it be the depiction of a religious figure, Jesus Christ, as white, blue eyes, blonde hair, that is all encompassed as a creation of whiteness. And its sole purpose is to deny and take away the rightful blackness from the original man. That is the basis of, you know, their teachings in the Nation of Islam. And it's there.
You know what's interesting is that when I was a young student in college, and I've had quite a bit of education, I was under the misinterpretation that all civilization emerged from the Middle East, from ancient Mesopotamia. When did it become Africa?
You pose a good question, and it's a question I cannot answer because I'm in agreement with what you just stated.
All of the civilizations that I studied seem to have been centered somewhere in the Levant, the new homeland of ISIL or ISIS. The Islamic State of the area. I was told that Mesopotamia, that fertile area, gave birth to great civilizations because of the fertility of the area and the agriculture that was able to be built up around it. And from the great wealth that emerged from this agriculture and the sale of the products to surrounding nations, great civilizations arose. I then woke up one day and found out I was wrong all those years.
Well, I don't know. That's what I was taught. So, you know, in my humble opinion, you're still correct.
Well, I'd like an expert in listening to this show, which has a vast audience of intelligent people, to tell me where the origin of man has been proven to be, Africa or Mesopotamia. Who's proven this? Is this not just another theory? Where is the proof to this? That's what I'd like to know. So these are important questions, but that's irrelevant. What's relevant, really, is the hatred for white people that's emerging in the entertainment and academic and, frankly, the journalistic worlds, and how dangerous this is for the future of the nation. See, that's my main point. This cannot lead to anything but civil war, and it's a disaster to see this spoken at the white, the black entertainment television award ceremony. This is racial hatred. It's incendiary. It's throwing gasoline onto a stage that's already on fire, and I know where it's coming from. It's all coming from the Democrat Party. They want cities to burn because they feel that if there's social disorder, it will be good for who? The incumbent party. Do you understand that? This is why the abuser-in-chief has so carefully planted these seeds into the fertile soil of America's weakness. Now, I want to go back again. Well, I don't know if I need to go back again to history. I don't think people are interested in barbarians in ancient Rome. I don't think that's very important right now. It's maybe almost impossible to teach this. But I want you to understand where the English language itself came from in my studies of the barbarians, just for the heck of it. I'm going to read you a paragraph from a history book. This is when the barbarians marched into the former cities that were dominated by the Romans. The historian writes, if they were half-civilized barbarians, they would give the conquered districts tolerable terms. They would take possession of the towns, associate and intermarry, and acquire with an accent the Latin speech. But the Jutes, the Angles, and the Saxons, who submerged the Roman province of Britain, were agriculturalists and had no use for towns. They seemed to have swept South Britain clear of the Romanized population, and they replaced the language by their own Teutonic dialects, which became at last English. I don't know if many of you understand that English is derived in part from the German language, but now you know that. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We're talking about remarkably important topics, and I don't know if they're of any interest to the audience. It's hard to tell these days with such lowlifes in the entertainment world, with parades celebrating things that my mother would turn over in her grave if she saw what people are in the streets marching and celebrating. Asking, what? That's what they're proud of? Why? What is that about? She would say to me. What's to be proud of? Either you do it or you don't. What's the marching? And by the way, if you want to talk about the gay pride parades, yesterday we could do that. Would you like to know how the park was left in San Francisco from these sensitive people? Would you like to see the pictures of the trashing of Dolores Park by this very sensitive, special crowd? You can find them even in the San Francisco newspapers. The fields were piled with garbage, trash, and bottles from this very sensitive crowd. Or if you live in New York, I got emails from people who saw the most disgusting behavior in the streets. Open fornication, fist fights, drinking, pot smoking, yelling, and screaming, all in the name of diversity, all in the name of superiority. People see the truth, but they're afraid to say a word. And I'm afraid to say a word. You think I'm not afraid to tell you what I just saw? I know what's going on all these levels. And I have only one job, however long that job may last. I have one job. I am a commentator. I'm a social observer and a commentator. I have no other job. So forgive me for doing my job a little too well, won't you? How about being tolerant towards me? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. In the next hour, we're going to get to the twisting of the news in Sacramento yesterday. There was a protest by 25 people who the press is calling neo-Nazis. Now, so far as I know, the people in this group of 25 were, they call themselves traditional Americans. I didn't see any Nazism about them. I know joining them were allegedly some skinheads. Well, right away, the media said five stabbed at Capitol neo-Nazi protests. So right away, you say, oh, those Nazis stabbed those poor, innocent liberals. But then you look at the story in the Sacramento Bee, and you see that there were 150 violent street thugs called anarchists. You know, the ones with the bandanas over their faces, the ones who beat up policemen and strike the police horses with bricks. You know, the vermin of the streets, the garbage that belong in prison. 150 such garbage, calling themselves anti-fascist, go into this crowd, as repugnant as some of them may be, and I don't know what they said that was repugnant, but they had a permit, they were marching, and I'm talking about the traditionalists, the white traditionalists were marching, they had a permit to march. These vermin, these thugs, 150 of them, along with the usual rabble of garbage, attacked them, got into a fight with them, and then they were five stabbed. But the headline says it all. At least five stabbed at Capitol neo-Nazi protest. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. And you're going to see the face of America. And you have to understand that I believe the anti-fascists were actually the fascists. Wouldn't you say that? I don't agree with the neo-Nazis, and I don't know if there were any neo-Nazis amongst them. I don't know that. But I know that the anarchists were the Nazis. I know they were the thugs. And they tied Donald Trump into the mix, of course, when he had nothing to do with the gathering. Typical news media, okay? Let's go to Don on WABC on the issue of where man began. Don, what's your point?
Yeah, hi, Michael. There was a BBC documentary approximately 14 or 15 years ago that basically did DNA testing on all six continents that are inhabited, trying to determine who the genetic, I don't want to use Adam, but let's say genetic Noah descendant is after the flood. And they were able to find out that that person originated in Eurasia.
Well, how could they do that? I mean, what descendants are still remaining from Adam and Noah? Where'd they find them? In a Brooklyn bagel shop? Noah's bagel shop?
No, there were some genetic markers that they were able to use that they found, that they determined that this was the person of that lineage. Like, these were direct descendants from that lineage.
So what I'm hearing is that original man, it's a sort of questionable as to where he originated, where man first originated, is what I'm hearing. We don't know where he originated, do we?
Well, if you go to the Bible, yeah, you do.
Well, does it really matter, by the way, where man originated? Does that make a thug a better person because he may have come from the original race of whatever the race might be? Does that make the thug superior? Somehow I don't quite see the connection. Let's say the person's a criminal of some kind, a rapist, let's say. And let's say he says, I'm of the chosen race because my ancestors were here first. Everyone comes to me. Does that make him superior now? Does that give him a pass on his crime?
Of course not.
Well, you would think that it would, according to the Black Entertainment Television speech last night. There was an arrogance and a distortion of history and reality unlike any I've ever seen in a television show outside of some speeches that I've watched in Hitler's time. That's where you would have seen things like this. Outright racism passing for outrage on Black Entertainment Television. And the media, of course, says nothing because they are one and the same. Okay, my friends, we're going to talk about these topics on the Savage Nation. WMAL Titus, Line 9, please fire away. We got 50 seconds.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I heard your question earlier to the audience of where the idea of white privilege came from. And I have the theory that white privilege came from the white population itself. Form of
sir, you're not making any sense. What do you mean from the white power? I didn't say that they should use such a phrase. I think it's repugnant and racist. I'm part of the white population. I'm of European ancestry. What do you mean? I created the word white privilege?
No, that's not. I thought the question was asking of the origin.
Well, the origin is from the communist left who are trying to start a race war in America. I'll answer the question for you. The communist left invented the phrase. It's from Foucault et al., the deconstructionists, brainwashing our children with hate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag a sleeve on me.
We stand with you to say that the good in this world far outweighs the evil, that our common humanity transcends our differences, and that our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
We're all speechless. She should have been forced to resign the next day. That was after editing the tapes, the 9/11 call in Orlando, where the Muslim murderer who killed all those gays pledged allegiance to ISIS and screamed Allah Akbar, all edited by someone in the Justice Department. That is unto itself an impeachable offense for an attorney general. But as you well know, some are above the law and some are untouchable. Apparently, Loretta Al Sharpton Lynch is one of those people. And I reminded you on Friday that if we had had an attorney general and a president in power like her during Hitler's time, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade or a bar of soap. I don't think that Hitler was defeated through love. I'm pretty sure that Hitler was not defeated through love, Loretta Lynch. In fact, it took 400,000 Russian soldiers who gave their lives just to conquer Berlin in the last few months of the war. And that's after Berlin had been reduced to rubble. Hitler still would not give up. He taught the old men and the little boys how to fire these little rockets that blew up Russian tanks. They fought to almost the last man, and it wasn't through love that the Russians conquered Hitler, and it wasn't through love that the American airmen died. It wasn't through love that D-Day was invaded. It was through warfare, horrible warfare. And I'm afraid that's where we are with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But we have naive fools running the country who are so vicious towards their own countrymen, it's hard to believe. They express love for Al-Qaeda, love for ISIS, and tell us to love them. Even after they slaughter all of these innocent gays, they tell us the answer is love. And yet they express such contempt and hatred for the rest of the people in this country. So figure that one out if you want. Now we come up to today, and Al-Qaeda urges lone wolves to target whites to avoid a hate crime label. This is brand new on June 27th. Al-Qaeda urges lone wolves to target whites to avoid a hate crime label. Al-Qaeda writes in the latest edition of its online magazine, Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula called for more self-directed Muslim terrorists to kill you in America. But the article entitled Inspire Guide Orlando Operation actually tells terrorists the following. Avoid targeting places and crowds where minorities are generally found. Because if gays or Latinos appear to be the targets, quote, the federal government will be the one taking full responsibility, whatever that means. Now, as you well know, ISIS blew up through their follower, this guy Mateen, or whatever his real name is, Omar Mateen, killed 49, injured 53 inside a gay nightclub, most of whom were Latinos, by the way. It was, not Latin night. I think it was called Latin Flavor, if you will. Pardon me. They call it Latin Flavor. So Latin gays were in there, and this Muslim maniac goes in and slaughters all these people. So now Al-Qaeda comes up and says, go after white people and avoid minorities in the United States of America. Okay, very, very careful. Very, very careful, because they know that if you attack a minority community, it'll be called a hate crime. Whereas if you blow up little white girls, that's a love crime. See, to Loretta Lynch, that wouldn't be a hate crime. If ISIS set off a bomb, God forbid, in his kindergarten full of white children, I guess it wouldn't be a hate crime. It would be a love crime. But if it goes off inside a gay nightclub, then she called it a hate crime. And this is the twisted insanity that we're living in. I know many of you say, okay, I can't take it anymore. I get it. I'm tuning out. I'm turning on Vivaldi music. No one knows who he is. They know someone with gold teeth with a bunch of chains hanging off their chest. That's what they know. Vivaldi who? Is that a new rock group? Okay, whatever. You get the picture. Now we have the media itself. Let's turn to some of the wonderful propagandists in the media. The buggiest one, perhaps, the one I call the craziest, is Fareed Zakaria on CNN. If you would actually isolate him and turn off the sound while he's speaking and just look at his crazy eyes, you'd say bughouse. You'd say major Thorazine required and a straitjacket required. But no, he's not crazy. He doesn't need therapy. He's got what he wants, which is a podium of hatred. Listen to what this lunatic, Fareed Zakaria, had to say about the Brexit vote on I guess it was Sunday, in clip two.
Journalists overwhelmingly tend to be better educated, urban, comfortable with diversity, themselves perhaps ethnically diverse. They come from that segment of the society that tends to be more liberal, more pluralistic, and they probably are less sensitive to the concerns and the real pain felt by, you know, the other half. The media is often accused of bias, and look, we know most journalists do tend to be probably left of center. But if you look at the Brexit campaign, the people who wanted Britain to leave were entirely using emotion. They were conjuring up horror stories of millions of refugees coming into Britain, overwhelming the social services, things like that.
You mean like what's going on here, Freddie? Let's anglicize him and call him Freddie Zakaria. Freddie, let's see, using emotion. Horror stories of millions of refugees coming into Britain overwhelming the social services. You mean like in the United States of America, Freddie? Now listen to clip three from Freddie Zakaria.
The British tabloids are basically their Fox News. They don't have Fox News, but they have the tabloids. And on the other side, the people who wanted Britain to remain were producing studies and economic analyses and experts. Mm. So the media does have a bias in favor of facts. It does have
please.
A bias in favor
Freddie,
of hold. Authentic,
Freddie, you
legitimate
stink.
Experts.
Freddie, turn him off. Shut up. Shut up, Freddie. Freddie, you should have been fired a long time ago. You're hate-mongering. Your hatred of America, your hatred of a certain segment of the population is so overwhelming that it may be too much even for CNN. It's time for you to leave and go where you belong, Freddie. Freddie, you belong working for Al Jazeera. Freddie, that's the place you'll feel most comfortable in. You don't even belong on CNN. Now we come back to actor Jesse Williams' Black Entertainment Awards speech, which is sort of a jazzed-up Hitler speech. It's sort of a Hitler speech set to bebop, by the way. It's so repugnant and so racist that the last time I ever heard a speech this racist would have been in newsreels during one of the Bund rallies. Listen to clip nine.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Yes, I say, sort of a bebop Hitler speech is what that was, set to a jazzy backdrop of cheering masses. And, of course, the day wouldn't be complete if I didn't entertain you again with some of the sound is so wonderful it's worth playing again. But we've done Pelosi already. But she's at a new low. The poor girl needs some vitamin C, some major vitamin C therapy. She's got the sniffles from working so hard. Let's try clip 11 with the should it be Looney Tunes or Cuckoo? Let's just play Madam Pelosi in the craziest speech of the day.
The dead of night, without debate, the vote was forced through a radical and reckless bill, more focused on attacking women's health in this bill than protecting America's families. It dangerously underfunds our fight against Zika, cuts off women's access to birth control, and undermines our veterans as well.
You wonder why people want to leave in Britain and what we'd like to do here in America. Unbelievable. Now, here's something for all of you Obama lovers, all of you bootlickers out there, all of you foolish liberals who think that Obama's a winner. He's nothing but a loser in Britain, the biggest loser they've ever seen. Here is Mr. Farage on your hero, Barack Obama, in clip 13.
You guys have your Independence Day, don't you? Every July, you have a day when you celebrate becoming a proper country and governing yourself and having your own courts and controlling your own borders. And that's what happened to us yesterday. We now have our Independence Day. We've broken away from a political union where our parliament was being overruled, our courts were being overruled, and we had a complete open border to anybody from Southern and Eastern Europe. So this is a big, major, historic step.
Right, and then we go on to Obama in 14, Robert.
The lesson from the Obama visit is even more fascinating. You know, he is the most powerful man in the world, coming from a country that we have always had, you know, a huge high regard for. And I saw Obama saying what he said, and a lot of people in Britain said, how dare the American president come here and tell us what to do? And it backfired. And I think we got an Obama Brexit bounce because people do not want foreign leaders telling them how to think and how to vote.
I like that, a Brexit bounce. Well, my friends, I'm going to take a brisket break right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
One of the fundamental arguments he's made is that the U.S. Needs to isolate itself a little bit more from some of the other things that are going on around the world and focus on America first. And there are some elements of truth to that argument, but ultimately, again, not entirely, because given the dynamics that we now live in today, we cannot isolate ourselves from global events. We are the United States of America. We're not a small, irrelevant country.
No.
We are directly and immediately impacted by global events, whether we want to be or not.
Well, that's the ice cream man Rubio suddenly came out from the cold and went on CBS News to talk about how Trump is an isolationist. But he himself is a great internationalist, that old Rubio. And as you all know, represents a man who has casino interests around the world. And so therefore, what would you say if your chief supporter was a man who owned casinos in Asia, wherever he owned them? And it's in Las Vegas. Of course you'd say we can't isolate ourselves from global events. So my friends, nothing changes. Things remain the same, and things change and remain the same. Let's go to the callers. Nathan on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Thanks for holding, Nathan. What's your point?
Yes. One of the reasons I called was I noticed that the guy, Jesse Williams, his mother is half white, very similar to Obama. I looked up his wife. Very fair, complexed woman. I'm sure she has some white in her. But the point I really...
I believe his mother is Swedish origin, incidentally.
So the one point I wanted to make, and I think this is what angers me, Michelle Obama is in Liberia today, if I'm not mistaken. And imagine...
Oh, well, it's late June. She has to be somewhere to abuse the taxpayer. But what's your main point?
Well, imagine if you're in Liberia, you have all these hating as white people, and you go to Liberia and you see, you know, a big difference between there and Europe, where she'll be headed shortly after leaving Liberia. At that point, you really either have to look at yourself and say, well, why doesn't Liberia reflect, you know, the height of civilization that Europe has? And I can see where it would make you very angry, you know. And the same thing kind of applies here.
I don't think people know what Liberia is, Nathan. You're a student of history. You know Liberia was settled by... African American slaves after they were freed. A number of them talked about going back to Africa and creating their own homeland, this idealistic homeland, and they did. They went back and created Liberia. And Liberia didn't quite work out the way they had hoped it to work out, did it?
It has, and it's been pretty much war-torn and ravaged with disease throughout that time. But, you know, I'm a black guy, and If I were screaming about how great black people were, and I took my children, I went to Liberia, and it really would make you have to face some inconvenient truths, you know?
No, Nathan, there was a great book written 15 years ago that was hushed up by a Washington Post reporter. I believe his name was Robinson. I'm not sure. And it was called Not Out of Africa. And he's an African-American reporter who said he was under the same impression that these fools are here, like at BET, about how great Africa would be and to go back there. And he said he was shocked when he got to Africa to see the horrid world that Africans lived in, and he couldn't wait to get back to America. I forget the name of the book, but it was called Not Out of Africa. It was astounding. And it was a bestseller, but it was buried quickly, as is my book, Government Zero, which I'm sending you. Nathan Holder, before you go, as a black man or African-American, however you define yourself, it's not for me to do, would you say race relations are more tense these days than it was 10 years ago?
Yes, definitely. You know, I'm a landlord. I've called you before. And so I have a lot of black tenants in a major black city, or predominantly black city, and I see it every day. You know, I see the anger there.
But is that anger to you as well, or just to white people? Is it to you because you're a person with some resources, money?
Well, I'll say this. When I used to have Section 8 properties in D.C., the administration, which was often worse than the tenants, would treat me like a white man, or they would talk to you as if you're a white man. You know, you've gotten, you know, not rich, but you're doing pretty well here. You own these properties, that you're getting this money from the government, and they would treat you like a white man. You know, so it's also,
is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not following you.
No, in this case, it was derogatory. Like a white
man. Wait, so you're saying government officials would look down on you because you were successful and then you became an honorary white man because you had money?
Well, I don't know how honorary that would be.
I knew you were going to say that. I gave you that setup just to have you hit it out of the park. I got it. You know, we're both communicating pretty well. I appreciate that very much. Nathan, look, it's not a fun thing to have grown up in a country that was so ripped apart in the 60s and then see it get healed and mended. And then see it ripped apart by this demon in the White House and his minions. It's sickening, my friends, and it's not good for any of us of any race or any sexual orientation. It's awful. The country is deteriorating. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Everyone's asking you the same question, which is, hey, Savage, what do you think of this Brexit vote? Now, the fools amongst the people I run into, and there are not a lot of people I talk to, but when they see Teddy, that is my dog, they'll say, oh, is that Teddy? That must be you. And the first thing they ask me is about Brexit. This happened 3-4 times over the weekend from strangers. And I said, well, I explained it all on Friday on my radio show. It's on my Facebook page. I said, well, I missed the Friday show, so I'm reluctant to do it, but I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I said on Friday. And it's this. It's a paragraph. What does Brexit have to do with you? It's Obama's Waterloo. He had two major losses in 48 hours. His devious plan to grant amnesty to over 4 million illegal aliens died Thursday or Friday on a 4-4 split in the Supreme Court. Then the EU died. Well, at least the British part of it did. And he and his globalist schemers are far from finished, as we all know. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But they were temporarily weakened by the exit of Britain. You see, the people have spoken. The people are willing to have a weaker economy if they can stop the flood of Muslims and Africans into their nation. You see, English law is much tougher on terrorism than the pinko EU law. Which is why ISIS itself and Al-Qaeda wanted Britain to remain attached to the pinko college boys and girls who run the New World Order in Brussels. That's the summary. Now, I wake up today and I see this shocking headline and I say, was I right or was I wrong? I was so right, it's painful. European superstate to be unveiled. EU nations to be morphed into one nation after Brexit. European political chiefs are to take advantage of Brexit by unveiling their long-held plan to morph the continent's countries into one giant superstate that has emerged today. Do you know what this means? Do you have any idea what the significance is? I know it's summer. I know it's vacation time. The world is in turmoil right now. You can point fingers at anyone you want. The number one architect of this breakup of the world order is Hillary Clinton. But she's gotten away with this disaster because of the men and women that she owns in the media. I wake up this morning and I read that the European superstate will be morphed into one post state after Brexit. One state. Under this new proposal, the European Union, all their nations will lose the right to have their own army, their own criminal law, their own taxation system, their own central bank. All those powers will be transferred to Brussels, which means those powers will be transferred to Angela Merkel, that potato-faced communist from East Germany, who posed as a conservative all these years in order, and here's the most shocking and revolutionary thing you're going to hear from me. Nobody in the media is going to say what I'm going to say to you. And the reason I'm risking saying what I'm about to say is because it's absolutely true. Merkel has achieved Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. If they pull off this one super state and eliminate the sovereignty of all the other states, then Merkel will have achieved Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. And the only nation that won't be included will be Britain. Isn't that interesting? In many ways, it was the Battle of Britain all over again. Instead of using Spitfires to defeat the Luftwaffe, they used common sense to defeat the liars. And they won. Now, of course, the game is not yet over because the evil ones in the European Union are not going to stop until they override the people. And they will do so at the risk of a civil war, because their plans for a new Soviet-style superstate have long, long been on the drawing books. That's how I see it. Now, I realize this is not that important to the average American. They really don't even know what it is about. But some Americans are so stupid and arrogant that they said things such as, did those people really know what they were voting for? No, they were stupid. No, the Europeans were stupid. They're not as smart as you. They don't know as much as you or the rock stars or the drug addicts or the immigrants. No, they're not smart. The Europeans don't know what's good for them. Well, I boiled it down for a man in the street yesterday outside a little restaurant. I said it really boiled down to one fisherman in England who said that in order to fish off the coast of his own country, he needed permission from some unnamed bureaucrat in Brussels, and he wanted his sovereignty back. He wanted the right to fish back, which had been part of his national identity for so many years. So we look at who's putting down the common people in England, and guess who it is? In addition to the evil new Soviets, meaning the bureaucrats, rock stars and celebrities react with dismay to Brexit. So now I read about some of these people. Listen to these comments. You won't believe this. 60s legend Marianne Faithfull, I really don't know who she is. I think she's a heroin addict or some all-around degenerate slut. 60s legend Marianne Faithfull said she hoped, quote, the situation can be saved and that Parliament can still do something. She told the news people, it is a disaster. I feel sick and very sad. We are back to where it used to be. The right-wing racist little England, those dreadful people. They've always been there. That's a 60s junkie singer. And what did Karl Lagerfeld say, the fashion designer? Karl Lagerfeld, the German-born Chanel creator, told those in the press he blamed rural voters from deep in the countryside for pushing Britain out. He said the big cities didn't want it. I don't think it's a good idea. The analysis of the vote shows that it is a bad decision. Well, the Sun newspaper, which called for its readers to vote to quit Europe, called these comments arrogant. Man, we have other quotes from guitarists and other drug addicts. They're all against it. And then one rock star, I don't know who his name is, he said, no one ever said that the majority know what they're doing. So in other words, they're against majority vote. I think they should eliminate the vote altogether in Europe. That would be the next step, and have the new Soviet Union, where Merkel will be uber alles. Angela Merkel, uber alles! Who would have thought that a woman who came to power as a center-right conservative would wind up achieving one of the major pillars of Hitler's fundamental dream, which was a united Europe under Germany. It's astounding to me. The biggest loser here is Obama. It was Obama who went to England and tried to use his arrogance to persuade the dumb English to stay with Europe, and he failed. And what's interesting to me is that people know this. Everyone knows this except the American media liars. They pretend he had nothing to do with it. But the fact of the matter is he had everything to do with them leaving Europe. Where did all of this hatred come from? Well, I'll tell you the truth. We have a president who is a community organizer by training, who found a little trick in life, which is turn one race against the other, turn one class against the other, turn one sex against the other, and presto magico, all the world is yours. This man has set race relations back 50 or more years, and now a hatred that I couldn't imagine still existed at a time when we have a black president, a black attorney general, and black people running so many aspects of America. The hatred is overwhelming, even from uber-wealthy entertainers who you would never believe harbor such hatred. And yet they do. There was a Black Entertainment's Award ceremony over the weekend with an actor, Jesse Williams, who I don't really know. I'm not doing it to denigrate him. I don't know who he is. I know he's on a TV show. Well, he hit a new level of hatred that I could not imagine would be permitted. You know, I don't understand how America can go on with haters like this in such high places. Do you understand that hate is hate no matter whose mouth it comes out of? I've never seen or heard anything like this in my lifetime. And I grew up in a fully integrated New York City. I've never seen race relations at this low level in my entire life. Things were coming together, and then they got pulled apart by the most divisive man in the history of America. My friends, we are living through a revolution. We're living through a quiet civil war in the United States of America. It was fomented the day this imposter was foisted upon us back in 2008. Many of us saw this coming. Most of us didn't see it coming. And most of the dummies in the United States of America still don't even know they're in a civil war that was started the day that the imposter was foisted upon us. But it's here. It's everywhere. And it's very near. Last night, for example, I went to a Latin dance club. I go once in a while on a Sunday. It's largely, you know, Latin people, Hispanics, some white people. I happen to love the music. I grew up with it in New York, and I have always loved the Cuban music, Puerto Rican music, Panamanian music, El Salvador, and it's amazing. Call it salsa music if you want. It doesn't matter what you call it. Music was good. And here's a guy on the stage that I'm listening to. Even he had to talk about, don't build that wall, he said. The Chinese already built the wall. We don't need a wall. This is in a dance hall. Wherever you turn, you're hearing a hatred towards America come up. And it's coming up, and it's growing faster than the wall is growing. The hatred coming up, and by the way, it's coming up from individuals who don't even have the legal right to be here. They're trying to dictate to us how we should run our own country. It's coming up, and it's growing faster than the wall that Trump said he would build. And don't get me started on that, please. Please don't get me started on what I predicted, because unfortunately I was right again. I have to tell you this. I'm going to vote for him anyway, because the opposition to him is so disastrous. The criminal, the disaster called Hillary Clinton is so awful that I have no choice. Now, I said to you the reason I supported Trump before anyone else in the media did, and longer and harder than anyone else, is because his policies, as presented, were mirrors of what I had written in my last two or three books. And I agreed with build a wall, make sure that Muslims from terrorist nations don't come in, ban the burqa. There were a lot of really good points. And guess what happened? What did I tell you would happen once this campaign became national? Who was it who told you that he would move to the center and then become even to the left of center? Me. And guess what happened? Where's the wall now? Well, there's going to be a wall, but it's going to be a smaller wall. If there's a wall at all, it won't be made of brick. It'll be made of paper. And what about banning Muslims? We all cheered when he said that because it's common sense. Go back to the ancient times. If a nation had sovereignty, they didn't let people in who were blowing them up. Who lets people in who are blowing you up or cutting throats or threatening to kill you? Certainly not all of them. But amongst them, how many of them? What percentage of Syrians, what percentage of Muslims from Syria or Africa are potentially explosive jihadists? You don't know, do you? Well, let's say it's 1%. Let's say it's even 1% of being snuck in through the Trojan horse of refugees. 1% of a million is how many people? Can you do the math? It's 10,000 people. 1% of a million refugees that might be jihadists is 10,000. Can you afford 10,000 jihadists amongst us when we already have several thousand at least amongst us? What sane nation on earth would let them in? None, because we're not a sane nation. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, wherever you go now, you hear the hatred coming back up at us, at America. Here's a nation that's been so good to so many immigrant groups. Was it a paradise for everyone? Yes, it was a paradise for everyone. That's why they came here. See, it was a paradise compared to what they were coming from. It didn't mean the streets were paved with gold. It meant that, yes, you had to make a living here. You had to work very hard. You had the opportunity to build a life for yourself. But the emphasis is on build a life for yourself, not be given a life by a government. No one owes you a living. There's a famous story of a man sitting on a bench in Central Park, looking depressed, and an old woman sits down next to him, and she says to him, "Stranger, what's wrong?" And he starts to complain about his life, that he's not doing well. And she says to him, very calmly, "Yes," she says, "life owes you a living, but you have to earn it." It was that simple. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
For 4 months since President Obama submitted his emergency supplemental bill request for Zika. 4 months for emergency. Think of that. 4 months for an emergency funding. And House Republicans have dawdled, delayed, and obstructed, trying to shortchange our response to this virus that threatens to do devastating damage to America's families and children.
Well, Nancy, I know you didn't read this in your local newspaper, but there actually is a more intelligent solution to Zika, which is to stop washing the dirty feet of those immigrants by kicking them out of the country and not letting them in the first place. I know that's shocking to you. I don't know how many of them live in your mansion on Pacific Heights with you, nor how many immigrants live in the mansions of Dianne Feinstein or the others who are so in favor of the illegal aliens. But you see, the reason Zika even entered here is because of the people you love so much. You're bringing them in by the trainload from Honduras and other countries where the disease is endemic. Look up the word endemic. Endemic. And we're not talking about a facial now. Endemic. Zika is endemic in the countries of origin that you seem to favor more than the America itself that you live in and has been so good to you. So there is a smarter way to stop Zika than spending billions of dollars that will be siphoned off by gangsters in the healthcare business. Medical fraud, Mrs. Pelosi, as you well know, is one of the greatest scams ever invented in history. It is more profitable than cocaine and heroin put together. And medical fraud is so profitable that at the first sign of any kind of medical problem, there's no better solution than an emergency supplemental bill from the great genius in the White House in order to make sure that, 60-80% of it gets skimmed off into the same hands that are robbing the country blind in so many other ways, including the greenways. Well, these are some of the topics that we're talking about on the Savage Nation, the emergence of the European superstate, where Merkel is achieving part of Hitler's dream of a united Europe under German control. This is amazing. Without firing a shot, look what this oven-stuffing woman has been able to pull off under the guise of fairness and equality. Look what she's been able to do. Then we have the haters popping up around America about this invention called whiteness. And yet, why are they saying it? They're making a fortune. What do they hate so much? What do they hate so much about this country?